These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
I don't think their starting pitcher, changed what he was doing in any way. He was the same guy, mixed his pitches a little bit throughout the game. Threw a little slider in there. I think we probably lost a little focus as the game went on in the middle innings and didn't have the kinds of at-bats that we aspired to. We probably could have done a better job against Barria today.
Sorry.
Oh, Rocco.
Oh, my God, dude. He comes up with new ways. And, you know, it's credit to him because he's got to get up there 162 times, and the season's been off the rails since really like the seventh game of the season. And he's got to find new ways to say, we were horse bleep, right? But I wrote down, I think I got this phrase correct, we didn't have the types of at-bats we aspired to have. That right there is a great marketing slogan for the Twins in 2021. Or for 2022, aspire to have better at-bats. What do you guys think?
I think when you start the game against a slappy pitcher that I've never heard of in my life, and you hit back-to-back home runs, and then for the remainder of the game, you get two hits, you should aspire for 2022.
Or maybe 2023. Yeah.
Just aspire to move on from this horse bleep embarrassment of a season where the best moment, and I went to all four games because I'm a sicko.
You are psych.
The best moment yesterday.
I went kayaking.
I saw that, by the way. Props to you. I would not go kayaking.
My oar snapped in half, and I panicked. It was the first time I've ever gone. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, I'd be completely freaked out.
Good thing I have huge hands to just do it the hard way.
No, kayaking's out for me, but I'm proud of you. But the best moment of the four-game series, and it was justified, is Ohtani hits a home run yesterday. And by the way, so I am one away from my write-that-down prediction. He comes up the next time for his final at-bat of the game, and they intentionally walk him. And they get the bleep booed out of them, and I loved it. They deserved it. Like, let me see something. Let me see Ohtani hit. People paid to see Ohtani hit. And by the way, he didn't play on Friday. So they booed him, and I thought to myself, this is completely justified.
I think the same thing happened, because I remember as a kid going to some of those, like, Ken Griffey Jr., Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, like when those guys would come to the Metrodome, early days of interleague play, you got to see McGwire, the Cardinals, and Sosa and stuff, and like,
heck
those
yeah.
Twins teams were so bad, and people would boo the home team, the Twins, for pitching around them. So this is Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment. We just want titles. That's all we really care about here. We just want titles. And the Twins are very far away from those titles. Now,
reckless speculation.
Maybe with some trades this week, they could bolster their chances for like 2023. But Declan's been a madman, just basically all over Score North social media, our executive producer, finding all the latest reports this morning. So I'm going to fly through a few of these, and then let's do a deep dive into the big one, the Buxton stuff and the Barrio stuff. John Morosi this morning tweets, Twins have had preliminary trade discussions on Max Kepler. The Yankees are one possible fit, given their shortage of left-handed hitting. He also tweets, Michael Pineda is drawing trade interest ahead of the deadline on Friday. He'll be a free agent after the season. His start tonight against the Tigers will be watched closely by the industry. So Michael Pineda could go one of two ways. If he gets shellacked tonight, I think his trade value is going to be pretty shot. Like, they'll probably still trade him. But if he pitches really well, kind of validates what he did last year, like, they could get something for him if he pitches well tonight. So quickly, before we get to the Buxton stuff, any thoughts on Kepler and Pineda being thrown out this morning?
So if you're going to trade Kepler, and if he's going to go to the Yankees, the reality of that move is that's more of a good contract going to a team that needs this guy longer term. It's not like a short-term move. It definitely intrigues me because of the glut of outfielders that they're probably going to have. And the frustration with Max, and it's legit, is who is he? Like, he had the great 2019. He homered to lead off the game yesterday. But, I mean, we have seen so many spurts of not great play. So I guess my question is this with Kepler, because this would not be a move to a contender for this year. My question is, what do the Yankees at this point, and I don't think it's a ton, have to give you back? Because the return would be important here. Like, I wouldn't just take a guy who, oh, yeah, I'll trade him. So my question when it comes to the Yankees farm system and a team that feels like it's doesn't have guys coming up right now would be, what do they have to give you for Kepler? For Pineda, I take peanuts. So, like, if you're going to – I trade him a heartbeat.
I mean, what's funny about the Yankees, too, is they almost always just – they trade prospects all the time, right?
Yes.
That's how they sign players in free agency, but then they also – they trade a ton of their prospects, and they always have someone, right? There's always someone for them to give. So they do a really good job of restocking the cupboards. And the Yankees have like a million different ways financially, trade prospects. Like, they have a bunch of different ways where they can overcome a mediocre roster or eat a bad contract. But what they're really good at is understanding prospects are for trading oftentimes. And they're not afraid. The Cubs realize this, too. It's like, yeah, okay, well, that guy might go on to a different team and become a superstar, but we can get Aroldis Chapman now. So it's a lesson to be learned. What some of these teams are going to do, the Rays with Nelson Cruz, for instance, giving up two of their top 15 prospects, those guys could both flame out. It's likely, I think, that those guys both flame out to some extent, the two pitchers that the Twins got. But it's a lesson for 2019. Be more aggressive at the trade deadline. And now the Twins are going to get a front row seat, all these other teams coming at them being aggressive. The Kepler thing's interesting. There's such a logjam in the outfield. You got to find, I think Kirilloff is a first baseman long term, but, you know, some of it depends on what happens with Buxton. Would they be more likely to keep Max Kepler if they traded Buxton? But interesting conversation. Speaking of Buxton, Ken Rosenthal over the weekend.
Reckless.
From The Athletic, he reports Byron Buxton has turned down now an $80 million offer over 7 years, and that the Twins and Buxton have been having these conversations the last few weeks. $70 million was the initial offer with incentives over 7 years. Buxton's camp said, guys, we can hit free agency in a year and a half, and yeah, he's been injured, but like, someone's going to pay up more than that. And the Twins said, all right, it's fair enough. All right, 70 is a little low. Let's make it 80. Let's make it 80 over 7 years, according to Ken Rosenthal. My quick thought on this is, if you do the math on $80 million over 7 years, it's about $11.5 million per year. Miguel Sano makes about $11.5 million, and he's not a good baseball player. Jay Happ makes about $8 million a year, and he's one of the worst starting pitchers in the American League. So if I'm Byron Buxton, I'm saying, yeah, I get it, I'm hurt, but I'm not always going to be hurt. And when I'm on the field, I'm one of the most impactful players in the entire game. Like, I was leading the MVP candidacy. I'm not going to lock in for 7 years at a base salary that's basically a notch above what Jay Happ is making right now. So it's like the Twins are they're sitting here trying to get discounts on Berríos and Buxton. And those guys are looking around the room saying, all right, we're a year and a half away from free agency. This franchise went in the tank in 2021. They haven't won a playoff game in 18 tries going back to 2004. And I can see free agency at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to explore some other places to work. Like, you can't try to get a hometown discount if your franchise is in the tank and hasn't won a playoff game since 2004. Of course those guys are going to look around the league and, wait a second, I'm in my prime right now. Look what the Padres are doing over here. God, look at the Rays. They have less budget than we do, and they're playing the World Series, right? So I don't blame Buxton or Berríos for playing hardball here and saying, guys, prove it. Are you going to prove that you're going to be relevant over the next 3 to 5 years? Prove that you're going to make the moves necessary to bolster the roster at the deadline. I'm not offended by this at all if those guys are going to play hardball. What are your guys' thoughts?
So if this is the last offer to Buxton, and we don't know, and I do not think he gets traded by Friday. I think that there's a good chance he gets traded in the winter, but I don't think he gets traded by Friday because I don't think you're going to maximize his value right now because he's hurt. We don't know exactly when he's coming back. If this is the last offer, though, if they said, all right, we'll go 7 years, $80 million, sign on the dotted line, that offer was made for one reason, to say we made one. That offer, he was never going to accept that. Now, a guy with his talent is, I don't care how much he's hurt. Now, if you came up with an incentive-laden contract that landed at 95 base and, let's say, got you to 110 with incentives of, if you play a lot, you get a lot more, I think you're at least talking. But when you stop at 80, you are doing that to prove that you made an offer. Also, unless we're proven wrong, here's the thing that bothers me about this entire thing and where it sort of stinks. If you're the Twins, I think you say, okay, we have a situation where we now make decent revenue. Our TV contract's not great, but it's good, and it's coming up, so we're going to have a new one fairly soon. We're not drawing like we'd like, but we still have a nice ballpark, and we still do draw. I think they announced 22 or 23 on Sunday, and they're a last-place team. That's actually not bad.
It's not terrible.
So where this absolutely stinks is you have to at least give me the idea that you have picked Berríos or Buxton and said, we're going to keep one. Like, we're going to have to pick. So I totally get them. I would like them to sign both, but I totally get the approach from a business standpoint of saying, eh, this is going to be tough, and they're turning down our offers, and we have tried. And I don't blame them for starting off a few years ago with the, hey, here's a team-friendly contract that's going to lock you up and reward you with a lot of money, but you still are not going to be a free agent for quite some time, so sign this. And they're like, nah, I don't want to. And now as we creep closer to free agency, there has to be some type of backup plan of, okay, oh my God, they're both going to leave. We have to keep one. So let's go to plan B, which is we have picked the one that we want to keep. And seemingly right now we are in a situation where it's possible they'll trade Berríos by Friday and Buxton in the winter and lose both. And they should not be for 1 second
light it on fire,
let
if that happens,
off the hook. And that one, it's cliche to say cheap poll ads, but that one goes all the way up the food chain. That one deserves a discussion of the commitment that ownership has. It's one thing to rip them for not going out and signing Bryce Harper. Okay, they weren't going to. Totally get that. I don't know if I'm defending them on that, but I'm certainly not ripping them for the fact that there are big name guys out there who go elsewhere. But when you develop the talent and then you allow them both to walk, and keep in mind too, what we're not talking about is Sano's a bust. So the hat trick of players who are supposed to lead this team into the next generation of Twins baseball are bust, potential trade by Friday in Berríos, and Buxton, I think, probably gets traded at the rate we're going this winter. They deserve everything they get from their critics for that.
Reckless speculation.
All right, question off that in a second here. Our Twins discussions throughout the year, talking Twins, presented by Dennis Kirk and DennisKirk.com. There have been times, I'm sure, where Dennis Kirk's like, boy, what did we get ourselves into just sponsoring these daily Twins conversations of 16 games below 500?
Mm-hmm.
But they're here. Like, if you've bailed and you just want to enjoy the summer weather, get out for a ride, Dennis Kirk has you covered. Whether it's Harleys, Metrocruiser, sport bikes, they are the leader when it comes to parts and accessories. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets as well at DennisKirk.com. If you order by 8 p.m., they ship the same day and shipping is free for orders over $89. When the open road calls, head to DennisKirk.com. We'll start with Declan here. If you had to choose one, let's say Judd's right and that, like, all right, well, it'd be nice to keep both these guys, Berríos and Buxton, but, God, like, you just can't risk. Like, the time to strike on these trades, especially Berríos, is in the next 4 days because someone's going to pay you more in prospect capital for two potential playoff runs with Berríos than just one if you wait till the offseason. So, if you had to go all in on either Berríos or Buxton on a multi-year contract and let the other one go, who are you picking?
I'm keeping Byron Buxton and I'm trading Jose Berríos. I just think you're going to get more for Jose. And in general, Buxton makes a bigger impact when he's on the field. I mean, if you want to make the case that Buxton isn't on the field every day, well, I hate to be this semantics person. Berríos pitches every fifth day. He's only playing a game every fifth day. So I know that's not the exact same apples and oranges comparison, but Berríos isn't out there every day either. And Buxton, when he's been on the field, has been that guy. And even though the Twins, if they're punting on Berríos and that puts a big hole in your rotation, I just know that this team is not ready to compete in 2022. So if we have some prospects against the wall that we can throw in, like Bailey Ober into the rotation next season, or maybe even this Joe Ryan kid who they got from the Nelson Cruz trade, and you still find, you know, the supplements. I know J.A. Happ's been a disaster, but you can always find a fifth starter on the open market. I can fill out that rotation pretty easily. And I know if I'm not ready to compete, why am I giving big money to an ace when I know I'm 2 years away from contending? And some team's going to give me some significant prospects for Jose Berríos. So I would keep Byron Buxton, and I would move Jose Berríos in a heartbeat.
I'd like to say that I would keep Berríos because he is the ace, no matter what you think of him, the ace of your staff. But I'm with Declan here. I mean, Byron Buxton is such a unique talent. And if I trade Berríos and get pitching back, there's a chance that I can actually replace him. And hopefully, if we believe that Falvey's going to do what we thought, at some point in time, this pitching's going to start to arrive, one would think or hope, right? So if Buxton was not such a unique, no, I'm concerned too. But if Byron Buxton was not such a unique damn talent, and I know that the speed is going to start to decline here at some point soon, but that doesn't make him a bad player. He started to hit for power. I still think a slightly slower Buxton in center for the next few years is going to be an elite player out there because he's fantastic. Speed helps a lot, but he also is just damn good. Ordinarily, I would disagree with Dex, but in the case of Buxton, I'm going no.
Just overall, when it comes to hockey or basketball or football,
ordinarily on this conversation, I would disagree with Declan. But in this case, I just can't let Buxton walk. It's too enticing. If we can ever get him to a point where, let's say he plays 120 games consistently. It's a really weird conundrum and a sad statement, but that's where I'd land. You?
I agree. It would be Buxton for me. Like, and also, go back and listen to some of these or read some of these Jose Berríos quotes when he talked to Phil Miller from the Star Tribune. And you know, and is there something getting lost a little bit in translation? You know, sometimes it's hard to tell. But he sounds like a guy to me that just wants to explore other options in a year and a half.
Yep.
And if that's the case, let's start to go down that road. Okay. Well, yeah, but you can still re-sign him potentially if you get to the off season, have more discussions. And, but even then, like after he hits free agency, you can still, if this dude hits free agency, what are the chances based on everything we know about the Twins and their finances compared to the Yankees and the Dodgers and like the top five or six biggest markets in the country? What are the chances the Twins really win an open bidding war in free agency for Jose Berríos? Zero, right? So if he's telling you right now, which he is, like he's telling you right now, we've worked, like verbatim, his quotes are, we, meaning him and his family and agency, have worked for 7 years to get to this point free agency so that we can explore our options. Then you almost have no choice unless you thought that you had a real shot to contend in 2022 and you'd just rather roll the dice and let the cards play out in free agency because you can win the World Series in 2022. But look at your rotation. Like this isn't the makings of a team. Cruz is gone. He's your best hitter. He's gone. You know, who are your other four starters? Declan started to lay some of them out. Is Bailey Ober your game two playoff starter? Like this is not a playoff team next year. So Berríos has, thankfully, has basically given you all the information you need. He's not being a D about it. Like, he's just telling you, I kind of want to go play somewhere else in a year and a half. There's another layer to this that we're never going to fully be able to, I think, unpack or peel back. And that I think Berríos has been unhappy with the treatment of him in some of these games, right? Like, now, have they left him in sometimes and he gets shelled in the seventh inning a couple starts ago? Yes. But taking him out after five innings of a playoff game in which he's dominating, right? Stuff like that where it's like, what are you guys doing? Like, I want to maximize my potential. Not that he's always been great late in the season, too. It goes both ways. On the Buxton front, they deliberately held him out of September a couple years back to manipulate his service time to get the extra seventh year of team control. And so Byron Buxton's thinking, guy, I could have become a free agent after 2021 if you guys hadn't manipulated my service time.
Yes.
Pay up.
And he was bitter.
Right? And he was not happy about that. So there's been some fraying of, for sure, of that relationship. And Berríos just doesn't sound like he's happy with the whole thing. And those things aren't necessarily like cheap ownership things. Those are just front office things that have popped up the last couple of years.
And I guess my question is, what's the message to your fan base and what is the look if you are prepared to allow them both to walk or trade them both? Like, to me, that's just not acceptable. At that point in time, they deserve to be ripped as much as you possibly can. And I will jump to the side of the anti-Twins bandwagon. If you are going to take two guys who we really saw as the future of this club and certainly saw at least one of them being signed to a contract that would take that player well into his 30s, and they're both gone, and you don't tell me, well, we got these guys coming up, I don't care. You need to keep one. And when Sano completely busts, like, this is a disaster at that point. I don't care who's around the corner. This is a disaster. If Byron Buxton is a Dodger, Jose Berríos is with the Braves, and Sano is playing for the Mexico City Reds, that's a disaster. And by the way, he might not be good there either. I don't know. But like, you can't gloss over that. There can't be a conversation about, well, yeah, it's too bad. Bad luck. No.
Yeah.
It's a decision.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think about it. They just lost Cruz. And yeah, you could re-sign Cruz. He's also 41. So like, the Nelson Cruz era is pretty much over. Like, even if you re-sign,
and he belongs on a good team too.
Yeah, if he had choices this offseason, when he re-signed back with the Twins for 2020, it was a one-year deal, right?
Yes.
For 2021.
Yes.
He did it under the impression that we're going to get the band back together and we're going to win a World Series here. He wants to win a World Series.
Yeah.
I don't think he would re-sign with the Twins going into next year because they wouldn't be at all favored to win the World Series. So Nelson Cruz is gone. If you trade Berríos and Buxton at any point between now and the start of the 2022 season, you're basically entering a multi-year rebuild because your rotation starts from zero.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that you would also have traded Taylor Rogers if that's the case. Like, if you're trading Berríos and Buxton, there's no reason to also not trade Taylor Rogers.
Yep.
You don't have a center fielder. Royce Lewis is going to need at least a half year of minor leagues before he's ready to come up. Like, you're in a multi-year
Hold
rebuild.
Hold on a second
if
here.
If you decide to let those guys
I'd like to correct you.
Else.
Jake Cave came back from the IL from the 60-day yesterday and started in center field, okay? So for you to say you don't have a center fielder, Diving Jake is back.
What's hilarious is he made his return to the lineup the same day that Lamont Wade Jr. hit two missile home runs for the San Francisco Giants. Lamont Wade Jr. has turned into like this really, really good player. And this was a first guess. Wait a second. He takes great at bats.
Yep.
He gets on base.
Smart player.
He's pretty young.
Yep.
He can play all three outfield positions, you know, pretty well. I feel like we've seen enough of Jake Cave to last a lifetime. And Lamont Wade Jr. is batting leadoff for the team with the best record in all of baseball right now. So.
Well, and. Not that we discussed this at the time, because we certainly didn't, but throw on top of that the cherry on top, Akil Baddoo. You couldn't find a place on your 40-man for him. Like, this was not a he has to make the big league roster. This was a 40-man roster transaction of, okay, you know what? We'll keep him. You couldn't find a place. And it's not like you didn't get a great look at the kid. Like, what did you not see here? And this is not our job.
It's bad,
not
dude.
Our job to know this. This is a guy in your system, Derek Falvey and Thad Levine, that how do you miss that completely?
It's really bad. On the Lamont Wade Jr. thing, because I tweeted out the highlight clips of his home runs yesterday. And, you know, I would say most people are understanding of how big of a botch this is. They traded him for Sean Anderson. He's been on three teams this year with a 9.45 earned run average. He's just an arm that you can find anywhere on the scrap heap, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Twins DFA'd him basically 2 months into the season, right? They DFA'd him in early June. But the pushback is, well, I mean, the Twins were pretty loaded on the roster with outfielders, and like, who would have seen this coming? What do you mean, the front office, their literal job is to see that coming, right?
Right.
Like, their job is to see which players are going to pan out and which ones aren't. And every front office has botches. So it's not, you can't just sit here and say, oh, look at that one big mistake. They're all going to whiff on draft picks. They're all going to whiff on trades once in a while. When you're, you know, when you're, when you're making 100 moves a year with waiver claims and draft picks and stuff, like, you're going to whiff on some of them. I think they whiffed on every notable move going back to the beginning of the offseason, November 2020. Every free agent has been mostly a whiff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Colome, Hap, Shoemaker.
Oh, yeah.
Even Robles is just like, Robles gets out there and just walks the plank every single time.
Yep.
It's probably the best of those four.
Yep.
Lamont Wade for Sean Anderson, Akil Badu being left off the 40-man roster, exposed to the Rule 5 draft. I mean, it is a disaster what they've done going back to – I think it's – I was so high on this front office for 4 years, and it's hard to reconcile the last 6 to 8 months and just give them a free pass and say, all right, well, it was a hiccup of a year. We'll see what happens. This hiccup of a year essentially – closed your winning window, and you might have to go into a rebuild next year.
And you know what I would like to do just quickly here is I think that we can now, because there's a pattern here too that goes way back, we can introduce prior bad acts. It's a very law and order like thing. I'd like to introduce prior bad acts, because at first we were like, well, no, yeah, I mean, yeah, just a tough thing, too bad. But I would like to throw on top now of what you just talked about, Phil, some more things that, in retrospect, raise eyebrows.
First, Sam Dyson.
Sam Dyson, you traded for a guy who was hurt. And, like, I remember we had, I think, Levine on, or Falvey, and I said, are you going to, like, pursue something here, compensatory? Like, you got an injured player, which, by the way, is sort of your fault, or you were completely lied to and bamboozled. And he basically said, oh, we don't like talking about that. But the answer was no. But at the time, I'm like, okay, that was really bad luck. That's too bad. Now I'm like, what didn't you, like, where's the report that said, one, he's a terrible freaking guy. Like, the whole cat thing was BS. He abused the cat, and I believe his girlfriend. And second of all, how do you not know that he showed up as damaged goods? Because he did. The other one, Homer Bailey. Like, what did Homer Bailey give you? He broke down. At least the Rich Hill move I get. Like, I know he's hurt a lot, but I sort of liked it still. But
he's a track record guy.
Homer Bailey was, he can go right on the pile of Jay Happ now and the shoe as far as these cheap guys that you try and bring in and resuscitate because you've got the secret sauce, but you don't. So I think the prior bad acts now can be introduced into the conversation of a lot of questionable things this team's doing or done.
I'll give you another one. Miguel Sano's contract extension.
Yep.
You know, they signed him. When did Penn hit paper on that? Was it before last season?
No.
Was it coming off 2019?
I think it was coming into 2019. Kepler and Polanco were that, you know, they were a package deal. They signed their contracts. And I think Sano signed either shortly before or shortly after them going into 2019. He didn't sign that contract going into 2020. I'm pretty sure on that.
Contract extension.
January 11th of 2020.
Oh, look at that.
Wrong all right, again. So this was after his big 2019, right? So he has the...
Yep.
2018 was kind of a disaster. He has the breakout 2019, yep. And they'd seen enough, right? All right, we trust him. He's going to maintain his physique. He's going to be really one of the leaders of this team. We're giving him 10 plus million. We're going to give him 8 figures a year. He's going to be one of the highest paid players on this team now. Literally, the dude hits, like, he signs that contract. He's been one of the worst everyday players in baseball the last 2 years. So another one. You could argue that the Kepler contract, too. I think Polanco has kind of figured it out, but, you know, Kepler's been hitting better lately. I don't know. The whole thing, almost everything the last couple of years just feels off and weird, and what are you doing? So with that backdrop, how confident are you that they're going to make the right moves this week? That's another question, right?
I'm not super confident. I'm just not.
So, anyways, well, you know, they could use some insurance.
Yes,
they plan to have some bad things happen this week. And I don't know if Federated can help them, but Federated can probably help your business. Find a full list of industries Federated protects at federatedinsurance.com. Federated's been around for over 100 years, based in Owatonna, and they specialize in resources and tools that help protect your business from risks, from either unforeseen things or maybe things that you can see down the pipeline that you just need help managing, check out federatedinsurance.com to find out more information. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. All right, boys, let's transition here into some statements. Mackie and Judd, Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. We just want titles. We did a full dive there into the latest Twins trade rumors. But that's not the only reason why this week is exciting. I'd love to start you guys off with a Viking statement.
If you... Phil froze there a little bit. He had a Viking statement to start there, Judd Zolgad. So you know what? I have a Viking statement as well. Because, you know, this might be the Mackie and Judd show, and it's, you know, quote unquote, your show. But, you know, I do elevate you guys. I lift up the offense.
Oh, no question about it.
You know, the circumstances around Kirk Cousins, they have to be perfect. I'm kind of in that situation. I need you guys need the circumstances around me to make this show get to the next level and get us titles. So,
all right, let's hear it.
My first statement on the Minnesota Vikings. So they got Dede Westbrook over this weekend, a third wide receiver. And this is not going to be a Chad Beebe bashing, by the way. A lot of people could think this is a Chad Beebe bashing. Mm-hmm. No. It is time to cook, baby. That is my opening statement. It is time to cook with this offense. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, Irv Smith Jr. Now, Dede Westbrook come into the fold. And I know that third wide receivers have come and gone here before, Judd. We've seen, you know, I forget who's the guy from the Bears they brought in like 3 years ago who then got cut out of camp. You know, sometimes these third wide receiver guys don't make the bigger difference than you think they should.
Absolutely.
But I think with Westbrook coming in, and him working with Keenan McCardell before in Jacksonville, you now have like a legitimate third wide receiver where if there's even an injury maybe to Thielen, who has missed some time over the last few years, or you do lose Justin Jefferson, you have Dede Westbrook to step back in. You know, this offense is still run first heavy. It's still a little bit in the Stone Ages because we want it to be pass heavy, but I do think that this offense is now ready to cook, and I'm excited to see what it does.
So I think the Westbrook signing is most important for one of the last reasons that you gave, Declan, is the depth of the potential that if Jefferson or Thielen gets hurt, that you've got a guy who, I don't know that you trust him completely, but he certainly gives you a chance there where if you have to plug in BB or BC Johnson, who probably showed that he's fine, but he's not great last year. I think that this provides necessary depth, which is a good thing. The offense is prepared to cook. The question is the head coach going to allow it to? In fact, I did a preview today that focused on the wide receivers and Justin Jefferson in particular on scorenorth.com that you can find because I'm doing a 7-part series leading up to training camp.
You just pump out content.
I'm a content machine.
It's the weekend behind the scenes, by the way, in the weekend statements. I'm Seltzer's in, and here's Judd Zolgad. Videos.
Content machine.
Scheduling all these videos just for Judd Zolgad. It's a content machine.
But exactly. You know what? The premise of what I wrote was you've got Thielen, you've got Jefferson, you've got Irv Smith, all of these players who skill position wise are really good. So the question is, are you going to be allowed to cook? Because if you are, it's going to be fun. And I think it's going to be a threat. But that comes down to one person. And it's not Clint Kubiak, in my opinion. It's Mike Zimmer. Is Mike Zimmer going to allow this team to open up and pass more? I believe the statistics I looked up yesterday, Declan Goff, where the Vikings were 27th, if I'm not mistaken, in 2020 in pass attempts, 8th in rush attempts. Are you going to get that? I'm not saying you're going to go to first, top 5 in pass attempts, but are you going to get that closer at least? Because if you don't, I don't know that the offense is ever going to cook like we think it can potentially cook. And also, you've got the players now, skill position-wise, to make that happen comes down to one person, Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, I know Clint Kubiak might be he's just the puppet string guy, right? I mean, he's just there pulling all the Mike Zimmer strings, and Zimmer wants to be a run-heavy offense, but I'm curious to see where it goes. I am.
Yeah, because that would lead to my statement of don't take a pass if you're the Vikings. You get it? Don't take a pass on the pass. Have the gumption to at least allow Clint Kubiak and Cousins and this entire passing game to have more freedom to consistently move the ball around. Doesn't mean Dalvin Cook's not extremely important. Perhaps even get him more involved in the passing game. Don't be running on 2nd and 15.
Absolutely. You know what? We'll keep it here, by the way, on statements, Judd Zolgad. But you didn't have a Vikings one, I think, to start. But what do you think? Let's hear from your first statement here. I know you were at all four Twins games like an absolute psychopath.
Yeah,
no,
I'm not
over
doing Twins. I'm not doing Twins.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? I will give you a Viking statement. as they get set for training camp to start on Wednesday. I believe players report on Tuesday. We are right around the corner from the beginning of training camp. And you know what the beginning of Vikings training camp means, Declan Goff? It means that we need some type of controversy, some type of excitement. It wouldn't be the beginning of training camp if the Vikings didn't have something, a little bit of adversity, hopefully not too much, that they face. And on Friday, they got it.
Okay.
And my statement is, the Vikings don't need this. If, and we don't know if this is official or not, our friend Courtney Cronin of ESPN reported that this move had been made, and then the Vikings came and put out a statement saying it's not made, but they acknowledge that there's an issue here. If offensive line coach and run game coordinator Rick Dennison really is out because he wouldn't get the vaccine, this is a distraction at a very late date before you start training camp that you don't need. I guess I would ask, if this is going to be official and Dennison is going to be gone, why this wasn't all handled, let's say, in late June instead of July, if they were hoping that they could talk him into getting the vaccine or what. But before you, and I saw tweets about, you know, oh, who cares? He's not, oh, yeah, this is a bonus. It's good to lose him. All right. Rick Dennison was good friends with Gary Kubiak, who, of course, was the Vikings' offensive coordinator and was on the offensive staff for the last few years. Dennison is here because of Gary Kubiak. Ergo, I don't think it's a leap of faith to say that Rick and Clint Kubiak are probably close, and Clint, being a young guy, is going to need some sounding boards. Nothing wrong with that, right? Rick Dennison's title is not just offensive line coach, which is important too, but he coordinates the run game. Nobody loves the run game like Zim, right? So if you are now going to throw the run game coordinator overboard, which would be as much a league call or more so than a Vikings call. So this is not getting into the politics of the vaccine. This is getting into the reality of your offense, how it's run, and who basically has input. Rick Dennison being out now is a situation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's not going to derail the season, okay? So I'm not trying to overstate it. But for those who were tweeting, oh, good riddance, I'm glad he's gone. This is not the type of move. Like, if this guy was, I don't know, assistant special teams coach, I'd be like, okay, that's too bad for him. But, right? But we're talking about a guy, and by the way, Rick is an old guy, and Zim loves his old guys.
Yes, he does.
They're sounding boards. I'm just saying there's a lot that goes into this, which probably explains why the move was not made previously. My guess is somebody was begging Rick, because assistant coaches have to get the shot, essentially.
Right.
So, like, it's not like the players. But somebody, probably Zim, was begging Dennison to get this shot. But it just seems like an unnecessary obstacle to have to face days before training camp.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of coordinators and important people on the show that have to contribute and can't be away for a while, let's get there. He is. There he is. He's now back.
He's back.
He's back.
Dude, you know what? Quick side rant here. All right, I replaced my modem in my studio here like a month and a half ago, and it's been amazing. Like, literally zero internet outages. For
yeah,
a
you've
month
been
and
good
a half
you've
until
been real good.
The beginning of statements, and I don't know if it's like the Vikings thought I was going to be negative with my first statement, and the Wolves came in and, like, cut my internet line. It was going to be positive.
That very well could be.
It was going to be positive.
You started to have some glitches, but I thought, oh, those will pass. And then you were just gone.
Yeah.
You were gone. Hey, so my last statement, Phil, was the Vikings don't need this. And it pertains to Courtney Cronin's report on Friday, ESPN.com, that Rick Dennison, the offensive line coach and run game coordinator for the Vikings, is either out or possibly being close to out days before camp because he won't get the vaccine, which assistant coaches essentially have to do unless there's, I think, a health or religious reason, which he does not have one. Yeah. I'm not saying that this is going to derail the no excuses season, but what I am saying is...
I was in the green room for your take, so I definitely heard your
okay,
take.
Okay, so days before camp, I don't think you need this.
In fact, I have a statement off your statement that actually sort of negates your statement, and it's presented by our friends at Burnsville Heating and Air. That's actually where I was. I had to go check out some of the new job offerings at Burnsville Heating and Air Conditioning.
Did you get the $2,000?
I didn't get the $2,000 sign-on bonuses, but I hear that they're giving out up to $2,000 sign-on bonuses, full-time, year-round work with overtime opportunities. A couple listeners of Purple Daily have actually already
applied and are having conversations. So get in. I mean, they've got openings, but you don't want our masses and legions of Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily listeners to beat you to the line here. Burnsville Heating and Air Conditioning.
And they will never, ever suppress your service time.
No. No. Oh, sorry. We got to hold you down, Bob. We have to pull you off that project over there. Work within 10 to 20 minutes of your home on job sites. Don't worry if you don't live near Burnsville. That doesn't matter. BurnsvilleHeating.com, click careers. BurnsvilleHeating.com, click careers. All right. So to your point, you're saying the Vikings don't need this with Rick Dennison. I'm going to say the Vikings offensive line has been garbage under Rick Dennison. And honestly, it's not that big of a deal. And so here's my statement. Now that Dede Westbrook is in the fold, solidifying your punt returning and your third wide receiver, and now that the guy who has overseen an atrocious pass blocking unit is potentially gone, the Vikings have a chance to have their best offense since 1998 this upcoming season.
Wow.
The Vikings have a chance to average 30 points per game. They averaged like 26 points a game last year.
Yeah.
They have a chance to average 30 points per game. Maybe even score, I was going to say 500 points, but they have the extra game, so the math breaks down differently. But I am very bullish on this offense, and I don't know, like, Rick Dennison, all right, dude, cool. Like,
well,
ship keeps sailing without you.
Yeah, but why was this not done in June? Like, if you're going to have to get rid of a coach who's fairly important, and you know that he's not going to get the shot, do it in June. I don't understand. My guess is they have begged him and continue before training camp starts to actually get the vaccine, and he has said no. But my point about why it's a bigger deal is run game coordinator, because the run game is good, and he literally puts
Dalvin and let your nimble it's the same system for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Rick Dennison's going to be gone, and they're going to be like, oh, my God, how do we block for Dalvin?
Yeah, but you know who panics and hates change? Zimmer. And he loves to run. And the reason why both you and Declan can talk all you want about the pass game, and I agree, but until I see Zimmer take off the kid gloves from Kirk in the offense and Clint Kubiak now, I'm not going to believe it. You guys are right, but why do you think they're going to do it?
You have left him puzzled for words, Judge Zulka. That's exactly what happened. As he's back. Wait, hold on. He's back.
I don't know what's happening here. I'm sorry.
It's Monday.
I'm just derailing everything.
It's Monday.
Put Rick Dennison in a hazmat suit. I know he can't have contact with players because he's a tier one. Put him in a suit, put him up, you know, I don't know, put him up in a corner office up in the TCO Performance Center, and he can draw up little run blocking schemes and submit them to the coaches that are going to be on the field. All right. Mm-hmm. He can still help scheme and watch film and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then other coaches who are vaccinated and approved can talk to the players about it. It'll be great. Here's another point, all right? If I were to have told you back in June, like you said, and all the Vikings fans, hey, Rick Dennison, the offensive line coach, is going to be out one way or another. Like, you don't know how it happens, but he's going to be out. Wouldn't most people have been like, how'd that guy still have a job? Like, they couldn't protect for Kirk Cousins for 2 years?
Yeah, but most people wouldn't have given the thought to this that I have this entire weekend about the fact that I'm telling you I don't want... Zimmer doesn't handle change well, and I don't want... And if this guy had nothing to do with the run game, I wouldn't care as much. But I don't think that you can put it on Rick that somebody made him start Dakota Dozier, because it certainly wasn't a coach that had any idea positionally. Somebody's like, oh, we got Dakota Dozier. He can start. I think that was an entire team decision. But the most important thing, single-handedly, the most important thing is Mike Zimmer willing to loosen up the reins? Because I am completely in agreement with both of you. This offense can definitely cook, and, well, that was pretty good. It can cook in many ways. But this offense has...
Stumbling into puns.
Has the potential... I didn't even see it coming. It has the potential to do a lot of great things if they allow it to. But that begins with Mike.
Yeah, let Kubiak and Cousins drive the car a little faster than 55 in the
Amen.
In the right lane.
Amen.
All right, I think we're probably back to Declan mm-hmm. here.
Yep. All right. My next statement is, buckle up for one hell of a week here. Buckle up for one hell of a week, and it's across the board. The MLB trade deadline is on Friday.
Yes.
Vikings training camp is opening. The Minnesota Wild could be making a trade any moment. We're still on pins and needles waiting for that to happen. We're on the eve of NBA free agency also coming up. I saw Woj throwing it out, maybe even a Ricky Rubio to Los Angeles Lakers idea on a podcast the other day. All across the board.
Great.
Offseason does not stop. We were built for reckless speculation lifestyle, but this is living in the moment. This is not even reckless speculation. We're at code red
reckless
of pins and needles. There might even be situations.
Reckless speculation.
That we have to stop what we're doing and get ready to go. What is so damn funny? What is hilarious?
The reckless speculation back to back. Yes. Yes.
So yes, buckle up.
This
one
week is going to be so much fun. I love this.
Yeah. You know, in the sports talking head business, they call basically like the week after the draft until the start of training camp tends to be the dead period. But because of the way the NHL and NBA calendars have played out, everything is culminating right now this week leading into training camp as well. So it's a blast. There's more fun things here. I'm going to jump in with my next statement. So I don't know if you guys saw the latest Packers drama. That's all going to play out this week, too, it sounds like. So Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams both posted the same Instagram picture. Jordan and Pippen, yes. The last dance, right? Because they both, or at least Aaron Rodgers, in group text threads with his teammates, refers to Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, as Jerry Krause. And so the comparison, obviously, you got to compare yourself to two guys who won six championships, right? Even though Davante Adams and Rodgers have combined for none when they're together. But here's my statement. The Packers shareholders meeting is today, and it's going to be hilarious. Imagine being Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, and you're going through the biggest professional crisis of your life, mm-hmm. right? And you have to get up there and explain yourself to basically like my uncles in La Crosse, Wisconsin, right? Like, oh, man, Frank in Onalaska here. I got a question. What's happening with Rodgers? And it's like you legitimately have to stand up there and explain this crisis to the, whatever, 200,000 people that bought a certificate on Packers.com.
That's what you get for selling people a piece of paper. They so deserve this. This is going to be glorious because you know what? When you sell a piece of paper to a bunch of people who drink too much and eat too many cheese curds, and they have a feeling of, I'm an owner, this is what you get. A guy in a suit who's going to absolutely get his ass booed off that stage because we're the owners of the team.
Steve in Waukesha has a few questions about the way things have been operating this summer.
First, Steve has to puke, but right after he does, he's going to really get you with the questions.
Let's go to Sven in Appleton. Sven, what do you think?
There ain't no Sven in Appleton. It's Harry.
Yeah.
Bill.
All right.
So, I don't know, man. It's
you're right. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Yep.
Over to me?
All right, back to Judd.
Yep. Okay. My statement is, good for Gerson. Gerson Rosas, my guy, my Olympic hating buddy. The Timberwolves this weekend, I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was a big story. Craw on The Athletic had a really big piece about it. The Strib and the Pioneer Press both covered it. Gerson stepped in and blocked Wancho from playing in the Olympics for Spain because he separated his shoulder fairly recently. He had rehabbed very hard, and Spain, it sounds like all the doctors are like, oh, you did a good job. Yeah, you can go.
So Spain's doctors are like, oh, yeah, come on over.
You're fantastic.
We'd love to have you.
So he flew to the Olympics, and it sounds like the Wolves doctors also at least were on board with, he can probably play. And my guy Gerson stepped in and said, he ain't playing. No, come back here. You are. And it sounds like Wancho not happy. Spain obviously pissed off as well. But this should be done more often. You know what? We pay you, not your country. You want to play for your country? Do it when you're retired from our team on your own time. I'm serious. Mad props to Gerson for doing what a team should do, which is saying, we're going to get you as healthy as possible to help us, not your country. And I don't care if this is the U.S. team, the Canadian team, or Spain. This is what I want to see more of.
I don't know. I'm a little – first of all, you're taking this way too far. I'm a little worried that Gerson just is alienating too many people around. So we've had longtime Wolves scouts, like, I can't remember the guy's name, but like he's been a scout since the mid-90s, and he's like highly revered in the organization, and he couldn't come to an agreement to stay with the franchise. And yeah. Robbie Sicca, who oversees all of their medical.
The scout's probably not a huge loss, Phil. I mean, if he's been there that long, that's a lot of bad seasons.
Did he scout Indy Eby?
I was going to say, let's find out. Before we talk about it being a loss, let's find out who he scouted exactly.
Oh, Will Avery, you guys.
Listen.
Draft Will Avery.
I'm telling you right now, David, this Steph Curry, the game don't translate.
Yeah, he's too small.
Don't take him. Anyway.
And then this, like, I don't know. I think the handling of it, like, was there a better way? No. You green light him. You send him to Tokyo. He's ready to play. And then you come in.
And Gerson found out.
I'm going to be a little critical. He's a friend of the show. I'm going to be a little critical of the handling of this.
Gerson, I got your back here. I love it. Stop more guys from playing international basketball. Unnecessary.
I think you're in the camp of you would like to send guys like Hernan Gomez out there knowing full well that you're going to crush their dreams, but make it hurt more by flying them to Tokyo
first.
No, I didn't want him going.
And to be clear, despite the fact it is my favorite sport, I don't want professional hockey players shutting down the National Hockey League in February and going to the Olympic Games. I want to bail on all of this crap. Focus on your job. You know, I don't get done with my job here and go to CCO and moonlight. No more moonlighting.
I mean you're welcome to if you want to jump in after Henry Lake or something.
No more moonlighting. No. That's my point. Save your best for when you're supposed to, for what you get paid for.
CCO would never try to poach our talent.
No.
All right, actually, can I jump in with a Timberwolves statement here real quick here?
Yep.
So there are two new names, player names on the NBA trade block, and the Wolves should take note of them, all right? Multi-talented big man from Toronto, Pascal Siakam, mm-hmm. according to reports, is available to be had. He makes about $20, $25 million a year. He can play defense. He's 6'9" power forward. You could probably play him at the five if you needed to, but he can pass, he can rebound, he can score a little bit, shoot a little bit. Really good player, energy player. And then Bradley Beal, there are reports that he is officially, 3 years too late probably, looking to demand a trade this week from Washington. And so Siakam could be a direct target for the Wolves in a trade with Toronto, depending on where Toronto wants to go, if they're going to go into more of a rebuild, or because Kyle Lowry's a free agent too. It's kind of a transition period for them. Beal, not for the Timberwolves, but Beal as a catalyst to get a third team involved. If Washington trades Beal, it's basically them saying, all right, we're going into a rebuild. Then they'd be interested in draft picks, young players, Jaden McDaniels, whatever. I don't want to trade him, but like you could trade assets to the Wizards. They would trade Beal to the Sixers. Sixers trade Simmons to you. That's the makings of a three-team trade now that the Beal thing is official. So this week's going to be – Declan nailed it. This week's
it's going to be, as the kids say, lit.
Yes. Yes, it will.
It's going to be dope.
Hashtag lit. How do you do, fellow kids? That is it.
Buscemi, right?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, just fellow kids.
More of a me thing, but yes, it is. It's very true. I have one last statement here from the weekend observations. I don't wait in line for bars. And we need to stop this type of behavior, to be completely honest. Mm. So Friday night, it was my friend's birthday. Met up with her and some other friends. We went to one establishment that had basically no one in it. It was great. We got there around 8 or 9 o'clock. Twins game was still going on. It was great. Had a couple drinks. As the evening progressed, there was plans to go to two other establishments. And the two main establishments, I know from experience, always have significant lines to get in. So I very confidently and politely said to my friend, who was her birthday weekend, I said, if there is a line at one of these two bars, and it's significant, I'm going home. I live in this neighborhood. I'm two blocks. It's even a better situation for me. I had to golf at 10 a.m. on Saturday. Even I want to put myself in a good mindset. So I said, I'm not doing it. And she said, well, at least look at the line. We leave the first establishment. We go around. And this line had to have had, I'm not exaggerating, 100 people waiting to get in line a block down. And I said, peace out.
And then it's like, okay, so there's not going to be a table open, right? You're just going to be standing in there, jammed in like sardines. I'm with you on this.
No.
Congratulations, like, Declan, becoming an adult over the weekend.
Like, literally. I don't understand. I can do this at home. I can do this at other places. Why am I waiting in line to do something that is incredibly achievable?
This is good. You're getting old. You're getting old and grumpy. I love it.
Wouldn't it have been more fun to just get everyone, just gather everyone who is going to be how many people were in the group here?
Like 10. 10
okay, that's
us.
A little more. But like, you could, in theory, get 10 people. Just go to someone's house.
I suggested.
And just drink a couple cases of seltzer.
Hold on a second, though.
I suggested that.
10 people to go to a place that's got a line for like a party? What sense does that make? You can't talk.
Right.
You can't stand by. I mean, that's just stupid.
I agree.
Just tell them it's stupid. Call me.
You'll tell them that?
Put me on speaker.
I'm about to say,
what you're doing is stupid.
Because I could do that.
I'll charge
you.
No, I don't want people in my house. No, don't bring your friends to my house. I don't want them in my house. I don't want them in my backyard. No, we got some young folks who have moved in next door, and they always have not like big parties, but they have friends.
Oh, no. Have you ever called the cops?
They sit in the backyard. That's a story for another time. So.
Judd.
I got another statement.
Hold on. You missed the biggest part of Declan's story. He's framing it up like he's being this responsible, curmudgeonly adult. Really, he just had to go golfing on Saturday morning. He probably had to go to PXG Minneapolis is what he had to do.
That's exactly what I had to do.
You know, go hit some of those Gen 4 clubs, you know, best clubs the PXG's ever made. They've got clubs in different price ranges, too, depending on where you're at with your game. And it's just a mecca. PXG Minneapolis, Southdale Center. Check it out if you are a golf fan. We had the event over the weekend in the Twin Cities. Cameron Champ rocking it with his third PGA Tour victory. But check out PXG Minneapolis and PXG.com/Minneapolis. All right,
Dex. Well, Dex, how'd you shoot?
The back nine again was a brutal. I need PXG to find me clubs for the back nine specifically.
I think you need to stop after nine.
Specifically.
Just stop.
I could.
Back nine's all about mentality.
It is, man.
It's all about mental toughness.
That was a hot day, too. All right. Here's my statement to the Twins. It involves a potential trade that we did not discuss at the outset of today's show, okay? My statement is this. Tempt fate. So I'm watching the Red Sox-Yankees game on Fox Sports 1 on Saturday, and they're talking about how the Red Sox, I believe, the OPS of their first baseman, plural combined, is second to last in all of baseball. They need a guy with a little bit of pop. They need a little good pop. They need a guy who can pop the ball out of the ballpark. Makes occasional contact, perhaps. They need Miguel Sano. That's right. I'm doing it. Make the call. And yes, I know what you're all saying right now. Oh, my God. Another big first baseman going to the Boston Red Sox. But you know what? It's a lost cause. He is a lost hope. I think trying to trade him is actually going to be tough because he's so bad now. But, you know, Boston needs to take a chance here. Boston needs a guy that can, you know, pop flies going on. Oh, right around Pesky's pole, opposite field, something like that. Make the call.
You know, Sano has enough, like, he's one of those guys, he has enough pride where if things start going too badly, he jolts with, like, a three-week hot stretch. So you would definitely, there would be, like, an ego prideful 3 weeks for sure, minimum, maybe even the rest of the season that you'd have to deal with.
Yeah, okay.
But he's not David Ortiz. In no way, shape, or form is he David Ortiz. So, listen, if you can dump that contract and open up a little bit more freedom for Byron Buxton, like...
This is why I would seriously try to trade him to a team like that that would take a flyer, and why by Friday I would attempt to give Josh Donaldson away to do exactly that.
Before we say goodbye here today, so tomorrow it's who gets it, who doesn't. Let's just say I'm just now reading all the way through the Jim Polad Q&A in The Athletic.
No, it's not good, huh?
I think someone's going to make who gets it, who doesn't tomorrow.
I'm going to guess I know what he does and doesn't do. Hey, I got one more before we go. I hope the Olympics are going well. That's my statement. I hope the Olympics are going well because
they are pretty well.
Because I haven't watched 1 second. I accidentally looked into because there's shades were up, so I'm not a creeper. The neighbor's house, walking into my house after the Twins game, their shades were up, and I could see their TV, and they had like gymnastics on or something. I hope
you
the
knew what was
Olympics.
Did you knew what
well.
Was on?
Wait, swimming.
Wait.
I'm not sure.
Wait. Did you just say?
Yeah.
You looked into your neighbor's house to watch.
Well, I can see right.
Gymnastics?
No. I said I'm walking up my sidewalk to go into my house, and I can see, and their shades were pulled up, and their TV's against their wall, so I could see right in. So I looked to my left,
if
and
you're
there
trying
was
trying to sound less creepy. Right
and
now,
there was
it's
not no.
working.
I'm saying I ran away because I'm like, oh my God, I'm accidentally watching the Olympics.
That,
I hope
that's why you ran away because you're looking because you're actually watching the Olympics. That was the first thing.
I'm taking pride in not watching the.
I'm
not
peering into my
thing.
Neighbor's household.
Yeah,
I may
peering.
Or may not be wearing. I may
looking.
Or may not be wearing mesh shorts.
I was wearing.
And
chill, I was wearing
in a
my,
week.
I was wearing my chill boys. My chill boys were on. I was comfortable as could be, and there was the Olympics. And I thought, oh my God, I don't want to watch this. I'm purposely not watching the Olympics. I hope they're going well.
Good Lord.
Oh, my. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Well, Judd Zolgad, everybody. Just hiding in the bushes. Creeping
close
around.
Your shades if you don't want me to watch your TV.
You close your shades? Your shades are closed?
Yeah.
So what would happen if you saw someone watching your... What if the shades were open? What if they were left
they're
open?
They're not open.
They're never open. There's no sunlight that ever comes into that house.
No, we've got shades that go up or come down.
Yeah.
So we have the top half is but you can't see through that. The top half allows light in. The bottom half always closed because I don't want people looking in my house. Some kid knocked at the door 2 days ago, and Dawn's like, "Are you going to check that?" And I had to answer it, and he's some Excel energy. I'm like, "Why do you have me answer?
That guy's a fraud.
Never answer the door."
He should just be emailing you.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy,
I'm
that,
like,
that guy's, no.
And she's like,
that guy is for sure scouting a future crime on the block.
Yeah. And she asked me, I think her words are, what if it's a neighbor who needs a. I'm like, well, then do something else.
Yeah.
Don't be knocking on my door.
What if it's a vacuum salesman? Hey there, sir.
You know, Jehovah Witnesses.
All the worst.
Kids selling candy. I don't want to buy your candy. Either set up an online operation or get out of the business, kid.
I can't disagree with that part of it. The peering into the neighbor's house.
I wasn't. I didn't mean
gymnastics.
To do it. It was. I didn't mean to do it. I'm walking. I'm telling you, you can't avoid.
It's like you were hypnotized. You
the
you
neighbor's
could have not
TV.
Done it. You could have just. You could have
no,
just like set a half glance and then it would have stopped. But clearly, you stopped and looked for a little bit.
No, I saw it. I'm walking up the sidewalk. Mm. I can see it the whole way. I never stopped. I never stopped. I'm telling you, I'm taking pride in not watching the Olympiad.
I bet you glanced twice.
Me too.
All right, that's a wrap on Mackie and Judd today. Who gets it? Who doesn't? Got a feeling Jim Poled's going to wind up
my
in that
segment
tomorrow.
My neighbors don't get it. Close your blinds.
See you guys tomorrow. Oh, by the way, Daily Vikings Conversations, Purple Daily, too. Check those out.